chapter 4. That's where we're at. We're going to finish up this chapter, Lord willing. We started a couple of weeks ago, and we'll just do a quick review before we go into verses 11 to 19. We saw in verses 1 through 10 where the Bible tells us that Israel was ignorant of the knowledge of God. Verse number 1 says this in chapter 4, "Hear the word of the Lord, ye children of Israel, for the Lord hath a controversy with the inhabitants of the land, because there is no truth, nor mercy, nor knowledge of God in the land." Let me stop right here before I forget. I need to say something because I just remembered it. Brother Thompson has some things in the back of his, is it in the trailer? Yes. Out in the parking lot. And we could use men or ladies' hands to bring it into the church. So if you would, after church, give us a hand with that. If we had enough, we could do one trip for everybody. So that after church, if you would, give a hand. All right, continuing on, here's what the Bible says, that in the land, because of their sin and the children of Israel. Now remember, Israel is not the whole, what we think of as Israel. It was the northern kingdom. How many tribes in the northern kingdom, by the way? 10. 10 tribes. And they were known as the northern kingdom or the kingdom of Israel. Southern kingdom would have, if there were 10 in the north, then there would be 2 in the south. The southern kingdom known as what? The kingdom of Judah. Yes, very good. So that's who he's talking to. And here he says, there is no truth, nor mercy, nor knowledge of God in the land. In the land. Notice verse number 6. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge, because thou hast rejected knowledge. I will also reject thee, that thou shalt be no priest to me, seeing thou hast forgotten the law of thy God. I will also forget thy children. So here's what we learned. Israel, number 1, was ignorant of the knowledge of God. The very foundation of Israel was ignored. The indictment of Israel is profane. We talked about, the Bible says their language and their lifestyle was lawless. They shunned the priestly system that God set up, and they were not growing closer to God. They were moving farther and farther away. Let her see, the destruction of Israel is self-inflicted. Self-inflicted. This is something they did to themselves. God warned of that even before that the children of Israel had inhabited the land, that's what would happen if they followed the kind of the system or the life of those heathen nations around them. And Israel's sins did exactly that. They mirrored the heathen nations. By the way, what was their idolatry to? It was not to Baal at this point. Who was it to? Remember, way back when he kind of took the kingdom, Jeroboam, he set up 2 idols in the land. One was in the northern end, one was in the southern end. What were those idols? I'll give you a hint. It was not an idol of Baal. They were bulls or golden calves, and they were to be a way to keep people from, literally, from either leaving the land to go to a heathen nation, or to keep them from going down to Judah, where Jerusalem would have been, and be a true worshiper of the Lord to visit the temple, etc. That was the idea, and sadly, over time, it worked. Letter D, the walk of faith in God is necessary to discover knowledge. We looked at that in Hebrews 11. The Bible says that let's look at it. Hebrews chapter 11. Let's go real quick here. And verse number 6. Hebrews 11 tells us this: without faith it is impossible to please him, that is God, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Faith is necessary to discover salvation in Christ, to discover God's grace, to know his plan for us through Christ, to escape sinful lust. That's an interesting thought in 2 Peter 1. And then his faith in the Lord is necessary for the knowledge of continual growth in Christ. You know, praise God, you can put faith in Jesus for salvation, but you know, there's more, and you know this, many of us, as I look around, we've been saved for some time, you know that your faith gets challenged over time. How many would agree with that? you're challenged to put your faith in God a little bit more over certain things in life, not necessarily for eternal life, but for, you know, this, for my job, for my family, for whatever. And God begins to bring these things to light. Well, that's a continual growth as we make those decisions for the Lord. So that's, they were ignorant. Number two, let's go to chapter 4 of Hosea again, and look with me there again, please. Let me start with verse number 10 of Hosea 4. I'm going to read verse 10 and 11. The Bible says, "For they shall eat and not have enough. They shall commit whoredom and shall not increase, because they have left off to take heed to the Lord. Whoredom and wine and new wine take away the heart." What is their other problem? Well, Israel committed, the Bible specifically uses the phrase adultery all through this chapter. And here he says whoredom, but adultery, we'll look at that also. Israel committed adultery against God. Can you commit physical adultery against God? Not physically. You can break his law, but you can spiritually commit adultery against God. Spiritually, because that is the relationship we have with God. Who can you commit physical adultery against? Your spouse. Yeah, that's what adultery is. It is breaking the vows and having relations outside of marriage. And God takes those, he looks at the both of them, and he says, you need to understand, those are equal. Those are equal. As horrible as adultery is, as much of a betrayal as it feels, you need to understand, spiritual adultery is just as bad. In fact, that's why you're getting this judgment, because of the adultery you committed to me in your worship. We want to look at that as we continue through Hosea. So let's very quickly pray, and then we'll try to get through this tonight. Father, we thank you for your love for us, and we thank you, Lord, for your desire for us to be truly, truly devoted, because that's where we're happiest, Lord, to you. And I pray tonight you'd help us to learn and grow a little bit closer to you because of it. Thank you for your word. Help us, Lord, to heed the warnings as well. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, what were they dealing with? What did God show? Here is the evidence that you are adulterous. Number one, letter A here, I should say, they were unfaithful in marriage and family commitments. This is the physical side of their sin. Verse number two tells us that they were breaking marriage vows, and it was common. Verse number two, by swearing and lying and killing and stealing and committing adultery, they break out and blood toucheth blood. The Bible tells us that marriage vows, seemingly, you know, it meant nothing to them. That there was no commitment, there was no, because they went through if you read and look back at the periods that Jewish people had to go through, or they traditionally went through to be married, there was a lot of not safety vows, if you will, but there was a lot of steps for them to get to that point. There was the meetings of the parents, there was the betrothal period, there was the amount of the dowry, etc. And then eventually there was the marriage ceremony. That's what eventually happened to consummate that marriage. Well, God says, you've broken all those laws. You've committed adultery with one another, and it's common. Not only that, verse 10 tells us that premarital promiscuity was common. And we know it's talking about premarital because it uses the word whoredom. He says here, for they shall eat and not have enough. They shall commit whoredom and shall not increase, because they have left off to take heed to the Lord. A very perverse lifestyle if you were living in Israel at that time. It was common to see people just not be with someone for very long. Let me ask you a question. Is that happening in America today? Does that happen? As we go out and mingle, and we see what's going on in places, sadly sometimes Christian people take that route too. That is a sad, and by the way, not right. It's not good. It's not helpful. Everybody who makes those decisions, they need to understand that God's plan is the best. Amen? It's the best. Does God help us overcome when we fail? Does he help us overcome sin when we fail? Absolutely, he can. But he says, here's how it's going to happen. We're going to look at that later on, how we could do that. But the Bible says that it was common in their culture. Verse 14 tells us that sexual sins were committed to, this is very, very stunning, they were committed to and by the children in the family. Verse number 14, I will not punish your daughters when they commit whoredom, nor your spouses when they commit adultery, for themselves are separated with whores, and they sacrifice with harlots. Therefore, the people that doth not understand shall fall. This was a lifestyle that they had seen and now were being a part of. And they had, remember, what was not in the land? Verse number 1 tells us what wasn't in the land. Take a look at verse 1. What did God say was not in the land? Truth, mercy, and what was the third one? Knowledge of God. So it makes sense that left to themselves, their natural fleshly desires would come and take over. And that's what was happening. And even the children were involved. And when I say children, I'm not talking about infants or little kids. I'm talking about the children in the family. In the family. Doesn't give an age, but obviously it was a family problem as well as a national problem. They were, letter B, they were unfaithful in dedicated worship to God. This was the more grievous to the Lord. Not that whoredom and adultery was not, but this is what brought on the judgment. Verse 12, my people ask counsel at their stocks, and their staff declareth unto them, for the spirit of whoredoms hath caused them to err, and they have gone a whoring from under their God. They sacrifice upon the tops of the mountains, and burn incense upon the hills, under oaks and poplars and elms, because the shadow thereof is good. Therefore your daughters shall commit whoredom, and your spouses shall commit adultery. They were unfaithful in their dedicated worship. The Bible tells us their unrepentant sexual sins turned their spirit away from God. Notice this here, the Bible says, might be in verse 14, talks about their spirit being turned away. Sacrifice upon the tops and the shadows. The Bible tells us that this was something going on inside as well as outside. As they worshiped their false gods, they were worshiping them in this physical way. Before, how perverse is that? And that's what heathens were doing as well. They were occupying the same kind of religion, unrepentant. They made no bones about it. God said, that's got to stop. They naturally turned to idolatrous worship. That's what unfaithfulness does. If it's not repented of, unfaithfulness naturally turns to idolatrous worship. That is worship of a something other than God himself. And that's what was happening. Letter C, God judges that spiritual adultery and physical adultery, that they are equal in severity. I think it's verse 14 is what I was thinking earlier. Here's what it says, I will not punish your daughters when they commit whoredom, nor your spouses when they commit adultery, for themselves are separated with whores, for they sacrifice with harlots, therefore the people that doth not understand shall fall. Both were equally in need of judgment, he said. Now listen to this. He warned Judah. He said, everybody listen. Israel's day is coming. They will come to a point where judgment is going to arrive. But Judah, listen up. This could be you. Let me ask you a question. Did it become Judah? Yes, it did. Yes, it did. You know, when Nebuchadnezzar began to invade and take over, Judah was not walking with God at the time. They were not seeking the Lord's face. They also were worshiping idols, and it eventually led to their downfall too. Verse number 15, let me start there. Though thou, Israel, play the harlot, yet let not Judah offend, and come not ye into Gilgal, neither go ye up to Bethaven, nor swear the Lord liveth. For Israel slideth back as a backsliding heifer. Now the Lord will feed them as a lamb in a large place. Ephraim is joined to idols, let him alone. Their drink is sour, they have committed whoredom continually. Her rulers with shame do love, give ye. The wind hath bound her up in her wings, and they shall be ashamed because of their sacrifices. This is what could happen. This is what's coming. Judah, beware. Wouldn't it be nice to have a national televised speech from our president? No matter who is in that office, to stand up and say, listen, if we continue the way we are as a nation, forget about Russia. Forget about China. There's a greater, more powerful being out there who's going to take care of us if we don't turn to him. Oh, that's what we need, don't we? That's what we need. But God says, personally and as a body of Christ, we can follow and live for the Lord. So letter E here, believers in Christ are warned about spiritual adultery. Let's look these up. 2 Corinthians 11. Let's go there first. We are warned about spiritual adultery in this day. And obviously, it hasn't gone away. So we need to know how to deal with it and its influence. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, and verse number two, for I am jealous, this is God speaking, I am jealous over you with godly jealousy, for I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. First thing we need to remember, God says, in regards to avoiding spiritual adultery, is this: we are the bride of Christ. We are the bride of Christ. There's no other out there we should devote our love and our devotion and emotions to accept the Lord Jesus. We are the bride of Christ. Ephesians chapter 5, let's go there. Just a few pages over. Ephesians 5, would you read these verses with me? In Ephesians 5, I'm going to start with verse 25 and then read down to verse 27. We're in Ephesians chapter 5. And we'll read verse 25 through 27. Would you read that out loud, please? Let's begin. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. Verse number 28 says, so ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. The Bible tells us that we are betrothed to the Lord Jesus in a very beautiful way. The most pure and amazing wedding is going to happen someday, and we need to remember who our first love is. Amen? Our first love, it's the Lord Jesus. The Bible says, here's one of the reasons why we need to keep that in mind and why spiritual adultery is our ruin if we choose to follow it. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 15. Let's go there. 1 John 2, verse 15. Let's say the things of this world, they look appealing as they always do. That's the way they are designed. Satan designs them that way and leads people to live that way. They're appealing. Man, why not give it a try? Well, here is why 1 John chapter 2 and verse 15 tells us this. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. Now listen to this. If any man love the world, what's the next phrase? The love of the Father is not in him. You cannot, as much as you want to try, love God and the world simultaneously. According to God's word, it's impossible to get along with the world and get along with him. You can do one or you can do the other. God has many blessings and rewards. Those that follow the world, they have their consequences. But God says you can't do both. You can't do both. It's impossible for you, especially now that you're mine, especially that now that you're a Christian, because of your betrothal to Jesus Christ. Number three, James chapter 4. We're going to look at a few verses here. Let's go there. James chapter 4. And we'll start with verse 4 and 5. Here's what the Bible says. He says, "Ye adulterers and adulteresses." This is not the Old Testament, folks. This is the New Testament. He says, "Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. Do ye think that the scripture saith in vain, the spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy? But he giveth more grace, wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble." The Bible here tells us that love for the world is spiritual adultery. To have a love for it, to pursue it, that is equal to the spiritual adultery we read about that Israel committed. It's the same thing. It's the same thing. It's taking away our devotion to God and turning it to the world. I'm going to live like them. I want to receive what they've got. this kind of life just seems like it's too much of a drag. And sadly, we see this. This is not new in 2022 when families see their children leave what they were raised to do, raised in church and so forth. But the truth is, living in church doesn't make you a Christian. How many knew that? Just like living in a garage doesn't make you a car. But it has to be a choice by the individual, the young person. There has to be a desire there that is shown to them. This is why we do what God says to do. Now, I can tell you, if you've had young kids, which many of us have, you can't always communicate. You can't always communicate a choice to a young child. You can communicate there are consequences to what you do, but you can't always communicate the choice. What we have found over time is that if you keep discussing it, sooner or later, they're going to get it. They're going to understand, okay, this is a choice. This is not something I'm programmed to do one way or the other. I'm not programmed to be a Christian. I have to make a choice to receive Christ as my Savior. I'm not programmed to do sin. It's a desire, but I have to make the choice not to do it or to fall in line with what my flesh wants. These are things that we must do as a parents and those that are growing in Christ to help others understand. Love for the world, that's a choice. That's a choice. And it leads to spiritual adultery. Number 4, let's read verses 6 through 10. How do we stay away from that? How do we keep from that? I think verses 6 through 10 tells us. And would you read those with me? Verse 6 through 10. And we'll finish with that here. And then we'll pray. "But he giveth more grace." Let's all read that together. "Wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Be afflicted, and mourn, and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning, and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up." Here's what God tells us. Number 4 here at the bottom, humbly drawing near to God insulates from adultery. It keeps it at bay. It helps us draw closer to him. What are some of the things he says to do? Submit to God, resist the devil, draw nigh to God, that is to approach him. I believe that must include prayer and calling on him for help. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, that's confession. Forgiveness, seeking confession and forgiveness. Repentance, that's turning away from those things. He says, be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning. He's not saying you're not allowed to have a nice day. That is not what he's saying. He's saying, stop laughing at sin. Stop laughing at your actions that are not in line with what God says to do. And change that. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord. He shall lift you up. All right. This is a challenging study to me. I don't know about you, but if you start taking it personal, God can really do something in you. He really can. Let's do that. Let's let the Lord lead and guide and direct us as we do. All right, let's break up in prayers for partners, and then let's ask the Lord's help.